Is life sacred or secondary? Here's Skip Heitzig to explain.
So here's the deal. Gets down to this. Life is either secondary or life is sacred. It's secondary for some. It's incidental. It's accidental. It's disposable. Or life is sacred. And we would say marvelous, as David put it, from the moment of conception onward. You're made in the image of God. Special creation, crowning creation. And if you happen to say, well, I think life is secondary, then I'll say unashamedly to you, my God is bigger than your God, because he considers life sacred from the very earliest stages onward up until old age.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
While microscopes have a long and fascinating history, it was not until the 1800s that improvements allowed scientists to truly begin to understand the minuscule world that makes up what we see every day. And that understanding bred a whole new era of science, at a time of wonder, as we begin to see the building blocks of our entire world. Now today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig reminds us that God has always known about the microscopic, and his love for us began when we were a speck. That's coming up next as Skip continues our latest teaching series, The Biography of God. And before we get into that message, we want to invite you to add Skip Heitzig to your social media feeds for regular updates and encouragement. You can like Skip on Facebook and follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Just check the links out at skipheitzig.com, where you can find out all about this month's Connection resource.
He was not a man of this world. Those around him knew he would never compromise. His God was on the throne, and he lived like it. God used him to influence the government of his day, predict events far into the future, and fight against the flow of society. Who was this man? His name was Daniel. The Old Testament book of Daniel tells his story, and thousands of years later, he still stands as an example of radical, godly living. Join Pastor Skip Heitzig in the teaching series, I Dare You, as he explores the book of Daniel, verse by verse, and dares you to live for God, not for this world. The Connection is offering the entire series, a total of 24 messages, on a preloaded MP3 player with earbuds and a charger for just $35. If you want to live a radical Daniel life, order this resource today at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Our ideas about the world can reveal one thing. We don't have big enough ideas about our God. We'll find out more when we join Skip for this teaching, My God is Bigger Than Your God.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
And be sure to stay tuned after the teaching today for some thoughts from Skip and his wife, Lenya. And now if you have a Bible close at hand, you'll want to open it up to Psalm 119 as we join Skip Heitzig.
We get the picture. We all had humble beginnings. We all started out as a speck. You were once a speck, a zygote, a fertilized ovum. And one day you became an embryo. And later on you became a fetus. You probably don't remember that. It was so long ago. And then you were born, and you grew and developed, and here you are today, a human being, an adult, with about 100 trillion cells, with about 100,000 miles of nerve fiber, 60,000 miles of veins and arteries, 206 bones, muscles, tendons that make you you. David's point is God has been superintending your development since those early stages onward, and he's not going to stop now. And the big thought of the psalm, since it begins with, you've searched me, you've known me, O God, is God has known me so well because he knew me and watched over my development since I was in those primary stages. And if that is true, God's not going to stop now. Now, there's an obvious point to be made, maybe so painfully obvious, but I cannot pass it up at this point, especially at this juncture in our culture. But it's safe to say, by reading what we just read, that the Bible acknowledges personhood from the moment of conception. It's really not a big debate. It's not a huge issue for us. The culture might debate it. They can argue over it in political halls and news reports at night when life begins. But for us who believe the scripture, there's no argument. From the moment of conception onward, it's life. Even though today we live in a culture that regards the fetus as a nuisance sometimes and to be discarded like a ruptured appendix if it gets in the way. Now listen carefully. Since 1973 in Roe versus Wade, in our country alone, there have been 49 million abortions. I know that's just a number, so let me give you perspective. The entire population of Canada today is 33 million people. Entire population of the country of Spain in Europe is 40 million people. Since 1973, in our country alone, there have been 49 million abortions. Well, a teacher was talking about this issue with her ethics class, and she posed a problem. They had to answer it. This is what she said to make the point. How would you advise a mother pregnant with her fifth child based upon the following family medical history? The husband had syphilis. She has tuberculosis. First child was born blind. Second child died. The third child was born deaf. And the fourth child had tuberculosis. The mother is now considering an abortion. Would you advise her to have one? Most everybody in the class, would they answer? Yes, they said. Based upon her medical history, absolutely. So they voted. She waited. She took in their data. And then she said, congratulations, you have just killed one of the greatest composers ever, Ludwig von Beethoven. And she went on to describe that that was the exact medical history of that family, and that child that was born was Ludwig von Beethoven. So here's the deal. It gets down to this. Life is either secondary or life is sacred. It's secondary for some. It's incidental. It's accidental. It's disposable, or life is sacred. And we would say marvelous, as David put it, from the moment of conception onward. You're made in the image of God. Special creation, crowning creation. And if you happen to say, well, I think life is secondary, then I'll say unashamedly to you, my God is bigger than your God, because he considers life sacred from the very earliest stages onward up until old age. Look at the 16th verse a little more carefully. Your eye saw my substance being yet unformed. Now look at this. And in your book, they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Now I know that that is a beautiful and just poetic description of saying you knew me in advance, you knew my life in advance, you saw my development in advance in such a detailed and meticulous way as if it were written in a book or programmed. But the language was enough this week for me to just stop and ponder the way David wrote this. They're written in your book. And then he says, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. And as I was thinking, I couldn't help but go in my mind to what has been discovered about the DNA, the programming of every cell of the human body. And in our generation, we've uncovered and unlocked the DNA code. I read a book recently called The Language of God by Dr. Francis Collins, who was the head of the Human Genome Project. And he calls it The Language of God because he purports to say that we're designed by God, and he says he's a believer. I disagree with a lot of his book. I'm mad at other parts of his book, but it's a great read nonetheless, The Language of God. He writes about the DNA molecules in every cell, the deoxyribonucleic acid molecules. And this is what he says. One cell. Listen to his language. In one cell, there's 3 billion letters long, and they're written in a strange and cryptographic four-letter code. Now, you have 100 trillion cells in your body. And in every cell, most of your cells are 46 segments, the DNA, 23 from mom, 23 from dad. Each cell with those molecules contains densely coded information that tells every cell of your body how it's going to function and act from the moment of conception to the moment of demise. It's a program. What body type you'll have, color of skin, color of hair, even though you want to change it, how your body will respond to the aging process, diseases that will come about, it's all part of the program. And it is so detailed and so complex that if you were to decode one cell's worth of information in the DNA into written form, it would fill a library with 4,000 volumes. It's one cell. According to Dr. Francis Collins, the author of that book, a live reading of that code at the rate of 3 letters per second would take 31 years reading nonstop day and night. It's one cell. You've got 100 trillion cells, give or take a few million. If you were to take all the coded information, not in just one cell, but all 100 trillion cells and put them into written information, you'd have enough books to fill the Grand Canyon 78 times. And that's just one human being. So the Grand Canyon, 200 miles long, 3 to 20 miles wide, you fill it 78 times, and that's the information coded in the cells of one adult human being. So this language just grabbed me. We're determined. It's programmed. God knows it all in advance before it happens. Which leads David to the third great truth in verse 17 and 18. Notice how he puts it. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So David would tell us, God's work is marvelous work. God's workmanship is meticulous workmanship. And that God's wisdom is matchless wisdom. Now, follow the thinking here. Verse 17 and 18. What stirs David more than his knowledge of God is God's knowledge and care of him. You know, David didn't go, you know, I'm a pretty good poet, huh? Boy, I've managed to articulate 3 cardinal doctrines of truth in just a few verses. He didn't even go there. What astonishes him is that this powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God even knows I exist, even cares. He's not just cognizant that I exist, he cares that I exist. How precious, he writes, are your thoughts toward me. I'll tell you what this does for me. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what this truth has done for me and my conclusions. Number one, it produces a sense of purpose. It elevates me to a sense of purpose. If ever you're the kind to walk through life kind of sagging down, know that this incredible God that superintended your development watches over you now and should fill you with a sense of purpose. How different from the unbeliever who doesn't see the special creation of God. We're just here by accident. He gets up every morning as a fortuitous occurrence of accidental circumstances and has to face the day with that every day. No purpose. Versus getting up and going, I'm God's crowning creation. I'm going to live with purpose. There's a reason I exist. So that's what it does, number one, for me. Number two, it fills me with faith. Because if all this is true about the God that I serve, it would just make sense that I'd be able to entrust everything in my life over to him. If he's that big and that powerful and that meticulous and watched over me that carefully when I was an embryo, He knows my need now, and I can trust every bit of my life, my future, my misery, my problems to him. And the third thing this does to me is fills me with a sense of responsibility. If God does have a purpose, and I can trust him with everything, then I want to make sure that as far as I can possibly do, that I understand what God's will is for my life and walk in it as close as I can every day. And wasn't that Paul's prayer for the Colossians? He said, I pray, chapter 1, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's the highest possible knowledge, isn't it? You could say, I know that I'm walking in God's plan and will and purpose for my life. So, how big is your God? How powerful is your God? He's big enough to make everything in your universe and big enough to take care of everything and anything in your life. And he'll never say, I cannot hold it together. I need more power. He's got you covered. One of my favorite stories that's a true story of all times is about Donald Gray Barnhouse. Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse is a great author, one of my favorite authors, who wrote a great series of books, one on Revelation that's the best. He's in heaven now. Donald Gray Barnhouse attended Princeton Theological Seminary, graduated, went back to Princeton 12 years after graduation to speak to the class at a place called Miller Chapel on the campus of Princeton University. And as he was speaking, in the front row was his old Hebrew professor, Dr. Robert Dick Wilson. Now, old Dr. Wilson in the front row, couldn't hear that well, squinted, you know, old guy. And Donald Gray Barnhouse gave his message. And afterwards, the old professor went up, put his hand out, shook it, and said to Dr. Barnhouse, if you come back again, I will not come and hear you preach. I only come once. I'm glad that you are a big Godder. When my boys come back, I come to see if they're big Godders or little Godders, and then I'll know what their ministry will be like. Barnhouse asked him to explain further, and old Dr. Wilson said, well, some men have a little God, and they're always in trouble with him. He can't do any miracles. He can't take care of the inspiration and transmission of the scriptures to us. He doesn't intervene on behalf of his people. They have a little God, and I call them little Godders. And then there are those who have a great God. He speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. He knows how to show himself strong on behalf of them that fear him. You, Donald, have a great God, and he will bless your ministry. With that, he grabbed his hand, said, God bless you, and they parted never to see each other again. So which is it? Are you a big Godder, or are you a little Godder? I guess you could tell by looking at the ends of your fingers in some cases. Do you bite those nails a lot? Chew them off because you're so frightened and worried about the future when God said he'll walk every step of the way and that impossible isn't in his vocabulary and his will is perfect for you. And I just hope that you are filled with a sense of purpose and trust and that more than anything else, tomorrow and the rest of this week and this year, your pursuit would be to be filled with the knowledge of his will for your life because he's so powerful. And if you don't know this God on a personal level, if you think, boy, I'd love that whole concept of being able to face my life with that kind of confidence, would you please, before you leave this morning, step into our prayer room right over here up front to your left. Speak with a pastor. Let's pray. Well, Father, we say that you are a great God. And we declare in prayer to you here what David said, marvelous are your works because you yourself are so marvelous. So unique, so outstanding that even words, sermons, books, songs can never tell the whole story. We have barely peeked into the greatness, the bigness, the power, and the awesomeness of God. But we declare it, Lord, and I pray that we would learn to declare it and even articulate it every day, that our hearts would ever be soft to your work, and we would say it's marvelous. And we would also rest in that it's meticulous. You care for us in a detailed fashion. Nothing escapes your eye. You are intimate that way. Therefore, we can trust you. We can live with purpose because your wisdom is matchless. Your thoughts are so precious to us and so ever available. And we thank you, Lord. And I pray that we would leave here today and live our days with that sense of confidence in you. Not because of who we are, but it's because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
With God on our side, we never need to worry. And if we're filled with the knowledge of His will, we'll be able to do that with strength. And what a strengthening reminder today as we finish this edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig. The title of today's message is My God is Bigger Than Your God, and it's just one part of our current series, The Biography of God. You can listen again online at skipheitzig.com or add a copy of this series to your audio library. Order when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at skipheitzig.com. And now let's welcome Skip and Lenya today with some more thoughts about our big God. Lenya?
Today, it was a nice message that you remind us that God values all life, and I would say individual life. Sometimes we feel like we could get lost in the collective, that God so loved the world, but He also knows my name, and He counts the hairs on my head and collects the tears in a bottle. And sometimes we feel like maybe God doesn't care, and maybe there's some listeners who are in that dark place or that hard place right now where you really can't see God in the midst of your circumstances. How can they take courage and grow in their understanding that God really does care?
You're not alone. If you're listening and you feel that way, every one of us have felt that way from time to time. And you feel that way because of the circumstances in your life. You've prayed, you've waited, you've trusted, and they didn't turn out the way you thought. Things didn't turn out the way you thought or hoped that they would. And so because you have an expectation that has not been fulfilled, your logical response is, it must be that God doesn't want me to have it, therefore God doesn't love me. Those are all lies. That's exactly what Satan said, in effect, to Eve. God doesn't love you. That's why He's keeping you away from that tree with that fruit. And if He loved you, He wouldn't keep you from it. And it could be that God loves you too much to let you have it. And He knows what's best. Father does know best. I remember just when our son was a baby and swore that we didn't love him because we weren't giving him what he thought was
disciplining
so
him.
Important.
Yeah.
And it was so hard. And Paul even says, no discipline is enjoyable while you're experiencing it. But later on, it produces the fruit of righteousness. So you don't know what God is producing in your life. You can't see. None of us can. But when it's dark and you don't know certain things, you have to resort back to what you do know, about God, about His character, about His love. And your mind is all important. What you think is who you are. And you need to learn to discipline your mind and say, this is what I know about God, this is what I know to be true, and you stand on that. And what you'll discover is when you make those affirmations of truth and confirmation of faith, that the feelings will follow that affirmation. They're not there at the beginning, but it's like the caboose that follows the engine. You let the engine be your decision, your affirmation, your confession of faith, and let the Lord produce in you the comfort and the emotion.
I think it would be fair to say that maybe God's never loved you more than in the midst of these difficult times, because it says He's close to those with broken heart. But not only that, whom He loves, He chastens. And so when we really love Nathan, we chasten him. That's how we show great love.
You should say past tense, chastened him, because now he's an adult with his own
That's
children.
True. So we can't.
But sometimes we feel like chastening him anyway.
That's true. And we still love him. So maybe God has never been closer than He is right now because of what you're going through.
Well, thanks a lot, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like to hear the interview again, you can listen in at skipheitzig.com when you click on today's broadcast. Our current series on The Connection is God's Top 10, and this series opens up the Ten Commandments in a way that's easy to understand and apply to your life. It's a great series to add to your audio library, and you can today when you get all 17 teachings bundled as an audio CD package for only $74. Or if you prefer to get each teaching individually, you can also do that when you visit the store at skipheitzik.com.
And make the connection.
God's many attributes are special and wonderful, but there is one we'd like to avoid thinking about. We'll learn more tomorrow here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.